Alpha 2, Alpha X-ray Zulu, is the frequency again.
Hearing nothing, this is WNGAXV for the K2IRC, New York City Transit Amateur Radio Club. We're meeting here tonight through the courtesy of M2ROW. excuse me. Every Thursday night, 8 o'clock to an hour. Again, this is the New York City Transit Amateur Radio Club. You don't have to be a member to check in. Come on in and join the fun. Thank you, IRT Bio.
Do you have any set members of the K2IRC group out there this evening? K2IRC is fine.
WB2YZX.
WB2VEQ.
YZX and VEQ this evening. How you doing, Charlie? Come on in and make one. WB2YZX.
WB2YZX.
Coming through the repeater, you were breaking up back and forth there. Did you want the mobile?
THC, I'm going to go to the 2 meter side, maybe that's better.
Okay, so I'll pick up Val while you switch over to WB2VEQ. How you been, Val?
Just fine, Lobi. How's everybody on that side? Since the last meeting, nothing much has gone on, but I think we had a wonderful meeting. Excellent seeing, what was it called, the electroplex craft or something like that? They call that a portable unit? Very good display, and he came over. The speaker came over very well, and I think everybody was happy and satisfied with the results of it. And other than that, I'm just going to turn it back to you and see who else is out there. This is KB2VEQ. Turn it back over to you, Lobi. WB2AXV? No, that's Charlie. Anyway, I'll find my chart, but in the meantime, turn it back over to you, Lobi operator.
Now it's WA2AXV. This is Alpha 2 Alpha X-ray Zulu for the K2IRC group. Yes, I've had a real run around today. Matter of fact, I talked to Andy earlier, and I didn't know if I was going to be here or not. I had to move Mom from the, she said, nursing home out to the nursing home out in Staten Island. They have the Sisters of Carmel or something, Richmond. It's getting time now, so we brought her out there and made her comfortable. It was just a big run around all day, getting the papers and everything else filled out. But there she is, and she's comfortable now, and now my sister and I and the rest of the family keep coming by to see how she's doing. That's what's going on the home front. As for the radio front, last week the guys delivered the shack, as Wally calls it, the spare equipment locker. The hell, it's our K2IRT headquarters out in Hamels, Y. I just have to make the arrangements now with the the repair section to get out there with a bunch of tools, and we'll spend the day putting the thing together and setting it up. It's got light, it's got heat, it's got walls. We'll put lockers inside, make it nice and secure, and over time, we can hold some of the meetings out there, and even do some more operating on weekends, even nights if the gang wants to. That's K2IRT.
WA2AXZ KC2DXF.
We got KC2DXF. Come on in the main one.
Obi, how's everything out there? Sounds like from what you're describing that all the cards are falling in place. You're going to have a nice little clubhouse. I remember years ago when I worked out of Livonia Barn and Livonia Yard, we had a tower there that wasn't in use, and me and my buddy, we wanted to have our little old clubhouse out there. I mean, we never did. It was a real rat hole, but sounds like it's going to be a nice place for the people that are able to go out there and enjoy it. KC2DXM.
Is that DXL or DXM? DXL or DXM, is it Mary?
X-ray Mike.
Oh, we got you, man. Yeah, I've been out of the Livonia Yard many a time, especially walking off the L into the yard there, and there's so much reconstruction going on. I think that'll pretty much be the last yard that they're rebuilding. I've taken over the power plant, Westchester Yard, but it's funny, Livonia Yard, I have no control whatsoever. That's all controlled by the yard master and the power, so anytime he has to do a power operation, he has to move his coat, get the coke bottles out of the way, and find his button again.
I haven't been out there in a great many years. The last time I was out there was when I got promoted to supervisor in 1988, and then one time I made a trip out there when I was working in one of the barns, but I haven't seen Livonia for almost 20 years.
So they're starting to pour money into the yards, and it's about time. Just big rebuilding up in Corona, and they were going to do a good rebuild job at 207th Street. Forgive me, guys. Had a big run around and took off of today. Looks like the money dried up for 207th Street, so that's going to stay that way for a while. But at least little Livonia is going to come up and back. Alright. Welcome aboard. We've got the K2IRT radio group here. Do we have anyone else checking in at this time?
But I spoke to Rich today, M2ROW, and the call is still out for the gang that uses the repeater. They've been kindly kicking a few dollars to help them buy the spare parts for the repeater, especially the batteries. So they have the backup set of batteries that failed, and they're trying to go out and purchase new units to keep the repeater up and going. If you check out QRZ, pick up Rich and M2ROW. Appreciate anything that the gang can give from K2IRT. I sent my check out last week. I'm told Andy will be sending out a check. Hopefully we can get together and help them out the best we can. So it's been a pretty busy week. We had a great face-to-face meeting last week. And it's about that QRP and that HF rig, the electric K3. Yeah, you're right about that, Val. It was a very interesting setup there. And it's amazing how compact these rigs are getting. I remember in the old days, how about 1968, 69, you opened up a rig and you could barely find an empty space in there. It was packed solid. And this electric, you open it up, and it looks like it's an empty case. It's got a few circuit boards on the perimeter, and that's it. So, talk about miniaturization. I think the days of us soldering the two sockets in and plugging in a 6-inch or a 12AS7 are just about over. All right. Got these two of them going. WB2YZX, this is a K2IRQ radio group.
WB2YZX, Charlie, you still with us? Charlie is still having some difficulties out there. Yeah, we'll give it up to Val. WB2EEQ. What you got going on your side, Val? You start doing any more work over there on the rig? Go ahead.
Well, as a matter of fact, I contacted HRO today and ordered my hamstick for 160. I'll be looking forward to throwing that up in the tree and talking to you guys over on the rag tube. So that's about all for the rig is concerned. And other than that, we're just running smooth over here. This is KB2VEQ. Back over to you, Moby. WA2AXV and the bunch.
What kind of base are you going to put on there? Are you going to put like a mobile wall mount on the roof and and some kind of a clamp to a pole or something?
I need a little trimming on my tree in the backyard. So while I have the guy over, I'll just have let him clamp it right to the tree.
Still need a base somehow. Probably that Hustler BM1 or BM2. I just ordered the thing. I ordered one from HRO last week. It's a bumper mount, but it has it has all the parts that you need to put the 160 antenna up in the air. One important thing, though, you're going to get the antenna. You've got to throw a darn good ground on the shield. So you're going to have your coax going up to the antenna. You also need a good ground going from the frame where the antenna sits all the way down to a couple of nice ground rods, because that helps out tremendously on 160. And I don't know how you're going to tune it before he gets it up there. So you've got to make some critical adjustments to get the SWR just right. And curious too, do you ever run a good ground at the Radio Shack?
No. I basically just have it connected to the hot water heater pipe. I do have that 8-foot ground rod, but I haven't connected it. I'll have to connect that outside and run a ground. I have some like half-inch tin ground cable, and I was going to run that out to the ground, just drill a hole in the wall and connect it to the 8-foot ground rod. I tried moving it closer to the house, but I started hitting something underneath, probably a part of the basement or something, so I have to move it out a little farther and try again.
Finding that someone's calling me. Bear with me 1 second, Al. Let me just put the phone.
Right, sorry, I about that now. WB3, CWA, 2AA3. Getting back to the ground, what I've done, I ran three ground rods. I've got two in the backyard, and I've got a heavy cable going up to the antenna. And about 25, 30 foot down the side of the chimney and out to the backyard into the ground. Also, here in the radio shack, I'm running that braided, the flat braid. And it's like about 1.5 inches. Going right out to my ground rod, and I have right behind the pine tree in front of the house. So I've got more ground to take a stick at. But it's interesting that when you do get the 160 meter ham stick up, you put the antenna analyzer on it, and you see how nicely it tunes down. You get almost 1-to-1 SWR on the frequency 8.71, 8.72 there.
KT2SYH checking in. Come out pretty fast, about a week or 7 or 8 days, no more than that, and most of the deliveries that I received. So we don't have time to talk about it and analyze it before, in a couple of weeks or so. About before I retire. Hold it.
Now we have a new check in here too. Can you do SOH? Just hold on a second. All right, yeah, well, as I said, I'm around. You know, when you get it and you want to put it up, we'll have fun and set this thing together. I love putting up antennas. It's fun. Especially in the wind and the snow and the hail. That seems to be my true calling there, Val. All right, hold on a second, Val. Let's pick up the new check in KB2SOH. Come on in and make one. You got the K2IRT group.
How you guys doing? This is KC2SYH, Kilo Charlie 2, Sierra Yankee Hotel. Name here is Phil, in Queens, New York, in Glendale. And I've been listening to the group for about 3 or 4 weeks now on my scanner. And I finally got my ticket about 2 weeks ago, and this is the first event that I'm attending. I have family that's in that works in transit, as well as a train dispatcher, and I like to join the group.
So welcome to the group there, the AC2SYH. We got the K2IRT group. Name here is Bob, broken old bottle, and my real call letters are WA2AXZ, Whiskey Alpha 2, Alpha X-ray Lulu. Alright, definitely you're more than welcome. We spoke earlier, and congratulations on getting that ham ticket. You know, it's great. You do all that studying and finally you get your license and have a chance to get on the air. It's going to open up a whole new world for you, get it?
Yeah, copy that. I got my ticket March 4th of this month. So, you know, I've been around for about 2 weeks or so, and I'm enjoying it so far. It's a lot of fun.
And you get a chance to experiment with the rigs and the antennas. You know, all of us on the air have been doing it for many years now, and it's an addiction that you love. You love to play with the radio, and you get a chance to meet new friends and get new ideas of how to do things, and it's always interesting. It's never really a dull moment here. All right, so let me pick up the KC2STM now, and we'll keep on going.
WA2AXZ.
All right, copy that. I'll be listening. KC2STN, go ahead.
Is membership in the K2IRT group absolutely closed to TA and their families?
No, not really. Not really. I open it up to anyone who's really interested in amateur radio. It's a group for K2IRT, and most of it is composed of transit authority, bus drivers, buses, subways and elevated, but if anyone's truly interested, the door is always open.
Yeah, since I met Phil, you know, we had been talking, and he said that he was going to join the group. And I said, how is it that you could join the group? He says, oh, well, my brother's a TD. I said, oh, yeah. Your brother's a TD, and I have no one in transit, pretty much, so that leaves me high and dry. But hopefully, yeah, I mean, if I could get my call down as a member of the group, would I then be able to go down to the face-to-face on Thursday night, Elvis?
I don't see why not. We usually hold them in Midtown Manhattan. The only other thing is when we have the face-to-face meetings down at 2 Broadway, you just have to bring some ID with you, and you have to be frisked by the 3rd Battalion police officers to get up to the offices, but we'll find a way to get them. And also, we do our field day activities out in Hammond Y. And we'll open it up and get you to have a little fun. By the way, just as a quick announcement to everybody, we're going to have a special event. We're going to do a special event station August 17th. This is a Sunday. August 17th in Marine Park, which is in Brooklyn on Avenue U, pretty much near Flatbush Avenue. We've got a site, and we're working with the Marine Park Nature Reserve, and they're allowing us to set up the radio station, and we're going to have a thing called Barefoot in the Park. How do you like that? All right, let's give it back to KC2STN one more time, and then we'll go down the list. Come on in and make one.
To correct your log there, Bob, it's KC2STN, Kilo Charlie 2. Sierra Papa November, and my one reason I got into thinking about the KQIRT group was on account of Phil. I didn't have much knowledge of anything back then, but now, because I had a lot of different terminologies, I know a lot more about the operations of the equipment from old tech R32s all the way up through new tech 160, and if it wasn't for him, you know, I probably wouldn't be joining this group, so thanks go out to Phil, KC2SYH, good friend of mine over in Glendale, Queens, and KC2SPN, back to the KC.
All right, we got it right now, KC2, Sierra Papa November, SPN, we had you. All right, let me set up. I'm only listening to you on a little 2-inch speaker over here, so I'm going to have to get the bigger speaker to look at. Well, that's one of the fun things about the transit, and I'm told that Phil loves the historic and the equipment there. As I explained earlier, I also work with the Transit Museum, and we set up displays, and we give them historic information on the power system. And we're getting ready for a power exhibit 2008, the end of 2008, early 2009. And that's pretty exciting for me because I've been working with the museum people for a good 30 years trying to get things together. Now, people have to realize that, yes, they see the trains and they see the stations, but there's a whole lot more in the background running the subway. And that's what I've been doing all these years, is just trying to bring to the forefront that there is everything beyond the subway train. Okay, let's go up to the top of the list for 1 second here. KC2, DXM, come on in and make one. You got the K2 RFD group.
You're 100% right as far as, you know, everything needed. I mean, people don't know what the signal department does. People don't know what the track department does. The trains don't go anywhere without power distribution and, you know, all the equipment associated with that, the communications between signal towers, telephones, radios. So there's a lot, you know, that people don't have anything as far as any real hands-on information. Talking about the older rigs, one of the fellows over here, one of my fellow supervisors, was telling me about microtechnology, where they can actually now, in this stage of the game, produce an AM receiver that's no bigger than the thickness of a human hair. So the stuff that we're seeing now and what's, you know, planned in the future, we'll probably still see some of it is absolutely mind-boggling. But, you know, you got to hold on to some of the old ideas, but you also have to be open to progress. KC2DXM.
KC2DXM and the K2IRT group, you got WA2AAG. 100% right, 100% right. Well, it's the old adage, you never know where you're going unless you know where you've been. And, you know, we have such a rich foundation in radio communication, dating back to Marconi and Tesla and all the other pioneers back then. And everything has been built on their shoulders, but you never have to forget their contributions. Well, look at the cell phones. You see people walking around talking to themselves now. Years ago, you used to call people crazy talking to themselves. And then you turn around and you see they've got a tiny little microphone, an earbud in their ear, and a little, God knows what the hell, a microphone of some sort, sticking out. So this is the root of technology. Soon enough, they're going to implant it in your body. And not only will you have radio communication, but it'll probably have bio checks back to the doctor too, okay?
Remember back in the day, Dick Tracy, when they had the Risk radio and then it became the Risk TV? And the truth of the matter is, even, you know, I remember when ICOM had that little small low-power HD that was about the size of a credit card. So, I mean, that was back in the 60s that we saw that sort of stuff. And I know I certainly lived long enough to see that type of technology come into actual reality.
I agree. Well, I go back just a little bit beyond that, and one of my first large rigs on HF was a thing. And that's all I can tell you, it's a thing. It's a Johnson 500, and it had a power supply and a transmitter. The power supply weighed about 150 pounds, and the power supply had nothing but gas rectifier tubes in there. It had a monster transformer pretty much the size of a bushel basket, and it had garbage can handles on the side for two people to pick this thing up. And the transmitting head had 811, the old big 811 vacuum tubes, driving a 4400A, vacuum tube the size of a coffee can, gave you about 1,000 watts on sideband, 500 on AM, and you really know you had a transmitter back then because it just dimmed the lights of the house. And now all I do is I turn on my ICOM 756 Pro over here, fire up an Ameritron linear, and it runs rings around the old technology. But once again, we wouldn't have had this new stuff unless the old stuff was built and running, guys.
One of the guys in my radio club went out to that big ham fest in Florida recently, and I called him before he went, and I told him to take a look down there and see what the Johnson 500 transmitters are going for. I also asked him to look into a Johnson pacemaker, which was a low-power rig that was really a complement to the Thunderbolt amplifier. And I have a Thunderbolt amplifier, so I'd like to compliment. The pacemaker is nice because the pacemaker also has sideband in it, and it's a phasing rig. So from what I understand, the days when they use phasing to eliminate the unwanted sideband rather than crystal filtering, it's supposed to sound really, really nice. But I would like to get, you know, one of those rigs, you know what I mean, either one, and actually use it. I mean, I would definitely use it. KC2DXM.
I'm sure all that stuff is out there, and depending on who's selling it, probably get it for a decent price. Good old boat anchors, as everyone calls it. But the only piece that I have left of that, I have the 4400A tube. I mounted it. I made a desk set out of it. So I've got the call letters and a couple of pens stuck in it. But I'm still using an old Hallicraft SX-122A receiver. Haven't fired it up in a long time. I'm looking at it now. I can just turn it on for old time's sake there. All right, let's keep going. And once again, this is the K2IRT, the New York City Transit Amateur Radio Club. And generally, we meet here every Thursday night from 8 to 9 o'clock for just a general talk, chat about everything between trains, planes, ham radio, and whatever else happens to be on the table. You don't have to be a member of K2IRT to join us tonight, so if you want to check in, come on in now. Not hearing anything. Let's see if Charlie made it back. WB2YZX. Are we able to fix the problem? Come on in and make one.
Station, you're not making the repeater.
Charlie, you have to move to a window or pick another location there. Something's not still working tonight. Charlie, try one more time. WB2YZX. Charlie's still in the middle of some problems over there, but like everything else, problems are meant to be solved. Let's go up to Val, WB2VQ, got the K2IRT group.
Lovi, this is KB2VQ. You're getting like me. This is these call signs by a few numbers and letters. And anyway, I'm here and checking in. So, I had something on the tip of my tongue that I was going to... Oh, yeah, Charlie is our elite guy with the satellites and the digital programs. And I was hoping he'd come in so I could ask him about this recent space flight and he heard anything, any simulcast or any other type of transmission from the latest crew that went up. They were supposed to be up for, I think, 18 days or something similar to that, one of the longest in history, I think it is. So I'll search around on 2 meters and see if I can find something, but he's usually on top of that stuff, so I was going to ask him that question. But if you can hear me, Charlie, you know what I want to hear. If you come back through, hit me on the Nextel tomorrow and let me know if you're hearing anything on any of the frequencies about the astronauts. I'd appreciate it. This is KB2VEQ. Back over to you, Lobi, WA2AXZ, and the K2RT bunch.
General question to the group, KC2SCN. I was wondering, do the R160s have handbrake, manual handbrake, be applied when the trains are laid up or in a yard? Does anybody know that?
Yes, this is KC2SYH. No, the R160s, 143s, 142s do not have any handbrakes that need to be applied when laying up the train. Negative.
They came up with that technology with the two experimental trains, the R110A, the R110B. I worked with the R110B over 207th Street when it came in, and they don't call it a handbrake, they call it a parking brake. And the parking brake is applied when the train operator dumps the train. It carried that technology over, not exactly the same way, but the R-142, the 142A, and the 160 all used that type of technology. So the days of calling it a handbrake are no longer valid. It's an automatically applied parking brake.
Just curious, I know the older trains with the Westinghouse, the lateral brakes relied on air pressure. If the train dumps all its air, what holds the brake?
Correct. If you dump the train, now the train is in an emergency condition. With a lack of brake pipe, you have an emergency brake condition, but you still have to apply a parking brake, because if you were to lose the compressor and the air supply was to deplete, you would then lose your brake. So the mechanical handbrake was there to keep the train from moving in the absence of air pressure. These parking brake systems that I'm talking about, they have a spring override, which is very similar to a tractor trailer. If the trailer pulls away, or if one of the lines or the hose breaks from the tractor trailer, a spring brake applies and will hold it in place. KC2DXM.
Yeah, KC2SYH.
Ed, SYH.
I think basically what he wanted to ask was, with the old trains, if they had a parking brake or whatnot. The older trains, such as the 40s, 42s, 32s, they all have handbrakes that need to be applied. With the 160s and the 143s and all the new tech trains, however, like the other station said, they're not called handbrakes, instead they're parking brakes, and they're applied when you dump the train. And with the manual handbrakes, you have to walk throughout the train and set the handbrakes yourself manually. You have to pull up on them, and sometimes they're hard to set. You have to walk throughout the entire train to get all of them set.
Technology is getting into that now. parking brake. Well, soon enough, we'll give them an automatic transmission.
The trains already, the trains, they actually have a type of transmission that is automatic. All the trains have that, believe it or not. But they do have a type of transmission, and they do go through gears as they, you know, as they gain more speed.
That's the train end, and I'm in the power end. I'm very happy to give the train all the 600 volts it wants. And he can use it any way he wants to. there used to be this great songwriter there, a comedy writer, Tom Lehrer. And he would make songs and comments pretty much like this guy Russell does on PBS. And he made an album one day talking about the space program and Wernher von Braun. And his thing was, once the rocket goes up, who cares where it comes down? That's not my department, says Wernher von Braun. So that's the good part about the transit. We all work together. We don't really have to know everything on their side, but it's always nice to learn something new about these new trains here. All right, let's go down the list and see if DXM has anything additional to say. Come on in, DXM. Get the K2IRT group.
Really, I mean, what I would like to know is how you made out with the movie or video that you made concerning Tesla. I mean, if I have an opportunity, I would definitely like to see that. I'm a big fan of his. I've read books on him. The man was a genius beyond comparison as far as his accomplishments, that most people don't even have the foggiest idea of what he actually accomplished, you know, with all his patents. He's a very benevolent man in helping out his buddy Westinghouse when he had problems with all the competition infringing on the patents. But there are people out there that know about him. I know they used to talk about having symposiums out in Colorado Springs. And one day I would like to go out there and see what they have out there. It was a site of one of his experimental laboratories, and back in the days, he actually was written up in all the local newspapers that he created man-made lightning and transmitted power over a distance and lit light bulbs up without any wires. So Tesla was really a very unique individual. KC2DXM.
KC2DXM, WA2AXZ for the K2IRT group. Yeah, the filming went well. That's going to be Modern Marvels sometime in May. Murphy's Law tells me I'm going to be in Dayton this year and I'll miss it, but they're going to send me a hard copy. But we had the subway historian, Joe Cunningham, and myself do quite a few hours of filming at the historic substation 13. It's one of the original 1904 substations that we have in the IRT. And one of the big reasons why they came to me in substation 13, we still have pretty much a good example of what the power equipment was like at the turn of the century. Majority of power companies and majority of railroads, after they did a modernization, they gutted everything and trashed everything. But here in New York City, we have several fine examples of the Westinghouse Tesla rotary converters, transformers, switchgear, and the like. And it served as a perfect backdrop for the Modern Marvels people. Let me just drop the repeater. K2IRT here. But not only did they come and do a filming at our substation, they also went to the New Yorker Hotel and spoke to my friend, the chief engineer there, Joe Kinney. And they actually used Tesla's room, the room that he lived in and the room that he died in, as their home base in New York while they were doing all the filming in the region here. So they interviewed Tesla's grandnephew, the fellow Turbo. And also, the day after they did the filming at the substation, they chased out to Wardenclyffe out in Long Island, the Shoreham area. That area has been off limits for a good 20 years. Because after Tesla turned it over to the town and they destroyed the tower, they turned that land over to AGFA. It was a film developing place. And the chemicals and everything else that they used leached into the soil. And sadly, that whole area became a toxic waste dump. Go ahead.
The society, I can't remember the name. I have the paperwork. I'll bring it in next time for the next net of people out in Long Island that are involved with the wireless industry. I mean, Telefunken, back in the days of Spark, had a major station somewhere out in Long Island. So there's a lot of radio history in addition to aircraft history out in Long Island. And they're working on something. They want to see if they can set up some sort of tribute to him in the form of a museum out there. And I hope that they really have the opportunity to pull that off. But, you know, only time will tell as far as that. Oh, by the way, did they take out the rotary converter that was located at 207th Street? I know it was on the second floor of the building where we had our air compressor for shop air. I mean, it was switched over to silicon rectifiers, but the rotary converter was still there. It hasn't probably been turned on in years. KC2DXM.
KC2FYA for the question.
But if you want to go see it, you better go soon. Because right now they're doing the major rehab of the substation. They're working on the building. They're working on the switchgear, and that rotary will be removed, sad to say. That's pretty much the last. So, you know, the last of the Mohegan? That's the very last 60-cycle rotary converter we have on the property. At the time when they were making these power converters at the turn of the century, they determined the 25 cycle was the best for transmitting power and converting to DC. And they could never really get the 60 cycle converters to work right. Only until the late 1920s, early 30s, when GE and Westinghouse got together and perfected shields and flash barriers, they could get it to work. Well, I have to tell you, I've been working in the subway now for 38 years, and since 1970. I've been working on those rotary converters. And if they perfected them, yeah, they worked. They worked, but they were hairy when they didn't. At the speed, you know, for those who know electrical theory, you have the frequency in the pair of poles that determines the speed of the machine. And these machines spun quite fast, close to 360 to 400 RPM. And because of that, the brush boxes and poles were very close together. So anytime you had a flash between the brush boxes, positive to negative, the machine would set up a ring of fire, and you'd hear the explosion a couple blocks away. Go ahead.
Heard about that sort of stuff. Is that possible that that would still work, or is that just sitting there, you know, as a dinosaur?
That one? Dead. That one is dead. They started dismantling the buskwork in the frame and the basement. But I'm trying to work with a couple of the guys to get the Substation 13. That's the one that's going to be on the Modern Marvels in May. But we have a 1904 Westinghouse rotary that we are going to fire up and get that thing running on DC there.
All right. Let's keep on going. Let's give it over to Phil again and see what Phil has to say. Phil, KC2SYH, I hear you're heavy into trains and train photography. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I'm one of the top 20 photographers on the New York City Subway.org website. You know, I just take different pictures of different things, mostly of the new 160s. I try to get all of them on the New York City Subway.org roster as they come out of the as they come out and are being tested on the line.
Get a chance to play with the R-160s and the 142s and the 143s over the past couple of years. We have a couple of test tracks. We've got one up in the Dyer Avenue line for the IRT class cars. And then out in the Rockaways on the flats between Hamilton Beach and Broad Channel, we've got that beautiful test track. It's a straight run right along the seashore.
Excuse me.
Right along the seashore there. And we've been testing all sorts of trains and rolling stocks from pretty much the DC cars up to the test trains, the AC cars. And between Bombardier, Kawasaki, they're using different propulsion methods and different controls, Siemens, Toshiba. So, you know, they're doing a lot of testing out there. And like everything else, the technology is zooming along, so they have to keep up with the time, okay?
Yeah, we also got a test track up on the Colson line, but it's a CVTC only. So they mainly use it for the 143s when they repairing their CVTC and propulsion motors, because recently a lot of the 143 motors have been dying, and they've been having to replace them. And they're also doing, you know, CVTC work too. That's what they do it on the Culver line, on the CVTC test track.
You have a fellow that checks in from time to time, WD2SGT Peter. And I haven't heard from Peter in a long time on the radio. So he sent emails back and forth, and he had a chance to tell us every once in a while of the fun things that he has to do. He's one of the car repairmen from Bombardier, and doing a lot of work with not only the subway cars, but the new M-Series trains that are going on Metro North and Long Island Railroad. There seems to be a lot of problems with those AC motors, a combination of bearings and controls. And the latest I'm hearing is the wiring wasn't too adequate to bring the current into the motor. It's just undersized. But they're lying it out. You know, every class of car that comes in has bugs. And it takes some time to straighten it out. And I'm sure the gang will. All right. Let's keep this going. If you don't mind, we'll call up on KC2 SPM to make one. and then we'll go to the top of the list one more time to see if Charlie is able to fire up his rig. The KC2SPN, coming to make one for the K2IRT group.
Yeah,
Dub 8,
KC2AXD in the K2IRT group. Phil, KC2SYH had a question that he wanted to ask KC2DXM, but he has since forgot it. If he remembers it, I have him on a headset in my ears right now. If he remembers it, he'll just shout it out and I'll relay it over to KC2DXM. And if not, it'll just have to wait until next week. So, yeah, you got KC2SPN. Yeah, actually, I did have a question. How is it that I would go about becoming a member of the K2IRT Amateur Radio Club? Over.
What I'd
like you to do is send me an email. Send me an email. You can do it through the ARRL, WA2AXZ, at ARRL.net. Again, that's my call letters, WA2AXZ at ARRL.net. And just put your name, address, phone number, and we'll put you on the master list. And we'll try to get emails out to you and tell you when we have our meetings. Go ahead.
WA2AXZ and the group is N2VSH.
VSH?
N2 Echo Sierra Hotel, this is Archie. Hi, Lobby, how you doing?
Archie?
Know what I was going to say? I was going to say, Archie who? Hey, welcome to the group, Archie, how you been?
You're not making it totally into the repeater. Can you just move the radio a little bit if you're on a portable and try it again?
Yeah, on a portable, up in Queens somewhere, kind of high, so probably not making it too well. Well, I'll listen to you guys. Hello, back to you, N2SHPS.
N2SHSWA2AZ here. All right. Yeah, I don't know if you heard, but we had one rousing meeting last week, a face-to-face meeting. Had about 21 people there, a full house, with a radio demonstration and a good group of guys there. Like I said, next time, if you have a chance, you know the doors are always open there, guys.
Yeah, yes, Robbie, I know. Thing is, I have some family problems. My mom is kind of sick, so I've been going there at night, so I couldn't make the last meeting. But I did hear about this demo, but kind of looked it up. It looks pretty good. I was going to get one of those, so we'll see what happens. I don't know if I'm making it to the repeater as well, so, I'll pass it back to you and I'll listen to you guys. All the best. We'll keep in touch. I'm going to try to make the next meeting, but kind of busy lately. And to me, it's safe to hear.
All right, Archie, that sounds good. That sounds good. Well, we'll definitely get together. As I told the gang earlier, we moved the new shack out to Hamels. Put the crew quarters shack out there in that area where we stored all our radio equipment on the second balcony. And I'll be out there next week sometime with the crew. We'll assemble it. We'll set it up, put tables in there. It's air-conditioned. It's heated. We have lights. It's more fun to do it in the dark since we're in the subway anyhow. But I think, you know, when things finally calm down with your mom and, of course, I've got my problems with my mom in the nursing home now. You know, things will calm down a bit. We can get together and do the field day in comfort for the first time. How do you like that? All right, Archie, you be well. And what I want to do now
Let's just try Charlie one more time. I'm going to make a 73 round since we're coming up to the top of the hour. And let's see if we can get Charlie back in here. WB2, YZX, Charlie, did you fix it?
Okay, so I'll be standing by here, 73 all around. WB2, YZX is clear.
This too will be fixed. You have a good one there, and we'll catch you. I'll catch you on the email tomorrow. I've got to clean out my email. Apparently, it's locked up in the office. I was away most of the afternoon, and someone must have sent a monster file and clogged it up. All right. We'll clear with Charlie, WB2YZX, and we'll go to Val one more time, WB2VEQ. Come on in, Val, and make a 73.
Roger, Lovey, that's KB2VEQ, not W. All right, we got it. But, yeah, that was Charlie's best transmission, his 73. How about that? I had some dealings with the R160s also, as a matter of fact. I have guys working on resolving one of the issues, and that was the fact that the motorless position is about 60 feet from the cars that they're using now on the J and I think the M line, and I have a crew out setting up conduit so we can put additional monitors for the conductor's position for the 160s. And looks like everybody's getting into the game, and we'll be adding a couple of other cameras to spotlight some of the curve areas so that the conductors can see around the curve. And that's my involvement with the 160s. Other than that, we had a great group tonight, and I think Peter was in there trying to get you at the very end. I don't know if if you got a chance to hear him, Lobby, but he'll be on there waiting. That's Peter is KI2TMT or something like that. Anyway, great group tonight, and I'll just say my 73 to each and every one of you, and look forward to each and every one of you coming back next Thursday. And for the new members, looking forward to seeing you at the face to face. This is KB2BEQ. 73.
I appreciate it. KB2WB2. Hey, just one, we don't call you late for dinner, huh? Let's see if Peter is out there. Peter, you're still with us. Come on in. You got the K2IRT group. WB2SGT. Peter, are you still with us? Give an email tomorrow, see what happens to the rig and the antenna there. Let's go over to KC2DXM for his final, and come on in and make one.
It was great listening to everybody's contributions tonight. Sounds like everything that we discussed is interesting, I guess, to the majority of the people. The people that aren't really actively involved with working with transit, I guess it's like a little bit of a fantasy type situation, but you know, as time goes by, I mean, I'm here 22 years, a lot of the fantasy part of it is gone, but you know, we do our part. We're what keeps New York City moving, so we're definitely professionals, and we do it right, and we try to do it as best as we can and safely as we can. I will try to be back next week, and glad to hear everybody. This is KC2DXM 73.
KC2DXM, you got the K2IRT group. Well, listen, thanks for stopping by. And you know, someone made the comment, for the man who works with trains, it's Christmas all year round. And I said, this is what it seems for me. Like, I've been playing in the power stations and with trains for 38 years now. And I keep saying, I'll retire when I stop having fun. So I'm still having fun. You never know. You never know. My two daughters are grown up, so now it's just me and the ham radio.
So we're going to make the best of it and keep on going.
Hey, well, maybe if I do retire, I'll wind up in the Smithsonian somewhere. Probably as part of an exhibit for all I know.
Let's give it over to Phil for his final. KC2SYH. Come on in, Phil, and make one. You got the K2IRT group.
Yeah, thanks. This is KC2SYH. I really enjoyed the net today. It was very interesting, like always. And I was glad to, I'm glad to be a part of it this night. Instead of listening just on the scan, I was able to actually finally jump in with my call sign and talk on the air. So it was very interesting. And I'll definitely be around for the next net. And for me, I like to say 7-3 to all. And have a nice night. KC2SYH, Sterling, Queens.
Once again, welcome to the group, and to all the newcomers, a hearty handshake, and you're going to have a great time. Well, we always have a great time. All right, with that, we'll go over to KC2STN to his final. We've got the K2IRT group here.
KC2STN, it's the K2IRT group. All right there, Bob. I look forward to getting into the club. I will drop you an email, and I'll send you my contact information, my address, and everything else. I look forward to seeing everyone at the face-to-face and seeing my name on the master list as part of the K2IRT group. This is KC2STN, saying 7-3.
To everybody, just another reminder that N2ROW, the owner of the repeater, Richie, is looking for contributions to help out for the repairs and the upkeep of the repeater. So if you check out his call letters, N2ROW on QRZ, or check out the N2ROW website that covers the activities of this repeater. Now, the contributions are definitely appreciated. Apparently, they're working on the emergency backup system, the battery backup, and anything you can give will help this great repeater up and operational there. And once again, to Rich and everybody on the repeater, thanks for allowing us to use the frequency for an hour. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to QSY up to 160 meters, bring that down to 160 meters. 1.871. If you have the ability of going down there, come and group a great group of ranchers that go well into the night. We got WA2AZ for the K2IRT group. We'll be off and clear. Guys, have a great night.